fellow Americans. This is a momentous occasion. It is profoundly moving to know there is intelligent life out there. Alien life. And our world will never feel quite the same again. Once you believe.
Martians. Please come to Earth, please.
And here we are again, listeners. It's episode 46.
46, they're flying by.
They are, yeah. Soon we'll be 50. We'll have to do something exciting for 50.
Yeah, 50th episode.
I don't know what the hell we're going to do.
Today we got a fun show. It's about Mars. All
right. Yes, this topic was inspired by, well, you actually saw it, didn't you? You saw some picture that was going around.
Yeah, there's two things. That's happening on Mars right now. One, you got alien space junk sitting on the surface of Mars. All right. Two, you got child slave camps on Mars. Right. So we're going to talk about that.
So that gave us the idea to do. I said, you know, well, actually, it was your idea. He's like, well, let's do a show about
all the crazy shit about Mars.
Yeah, but also kind of about some of the scientific stuff too, like real scientific stuff about how likely it is on Mars and why people first started thinking that.
We're
going to
separate the
Mars.
Wheat from the chaff.
And some of these conspiracy theories are pretty.
They're funny.
Crazy.
Yeah. They're
funny. Funny, but crazy.
Yeah. And we're going to get to the space junk, and we're also going to get to the child slave camp. So I already got down to the bottom of it.
Yeah. Right, like you even need to. Yeah, it's like the minute somebody says child slaves on Mars, I'm just like, no.
Well,
no,
I was watching Alex Jones live on a live stream when the guy mentioned the slave camps on Mars. And I was like, what the fuck? But I quickly found out what it was he was talking about. We'll get to it. We'll get to it later on in the show.
All right. So like we do at the beginning, before we get to the topic, going to do a couple of shout outs. First thing I want to shout out to Project Entertainment Network. Sometimes I forget. Sorry, you guys. Doing really good. Our numbers are really good. And he's been doing a great job. There's a lot of really cool other podcasts on there. Also, some of the people from Project Entertainment Network, including Armand Rosamilia, are going to be at Scares That Care in Williamsburg, Virginia, July 21st through 23rd convention there. So if you want to go and meet them or see them, they also have a Patreon page set up. They're selling t-shirts for a bunch of the podcasts, and they're really cool. So you might want to look into that, Scares That Care, and it's the end of this month. Mm-hmm. And also, I usually give a shout out to my book, The Unseen Hand, which has been selling really well. And I thank everybody that bought it and reviewed it and everything like that.
Oh, you had a huge show on Where'd the Road Go? That may turn out to be a three-parter. It's definitely going to be a two-parter.
I recorded an interview with Soraya from Where Did the Road Go? And he just put it up, part one. And he wants to do a part two also, because there was just, I mean, The Unseen Hand, there's so much stuff in there, which, you know, like I said, I didn't really intend at first, but it ended up being like twice as long a book as I was planning.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of ground to cover.
Yeah, and Soraya loves this book. He loves poltergeist phenomenon, and, you know, we've talked to him offline, you know, a lot of times, and he's really interested in our take of poltergeist, and also, you know, what happened with Mouth Mountain and everything. So, you know, he thinks this is a benchmark book. So do I, actually. There hasn't been a book written like this in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of what I wanted to do with it. I kind of wanted to bring back the old school poltergeist scientific kind of thing. So yeah, go check out the latest episode of Where Did the Road Go? And then part one, and then we're going to do part two at some point in the near future. And the only other thing I wanted to mention, and I've mentioned this before, end of October, October 27th through 29th, is Spooky Empire in Orlando, Florida. Yep. And we will both be there.
Running some panels.
We will have a table. We will be there all 3 days.
Yeah.
So you can come see us, you know, sitting on some of the panels and talking about whatever.
I may or may not have booze for you.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. We might. Probably will.
Depends on if we run out.
Yeah, we're going to have to take a lot, because we know how it went last year.
Yeah, last time we had all those little sample bottles. We were handing those little sample bottles.
Yeah.
But I found out that Jim Beam Green Apple was pretty good.
I know.
Yeah.
Even though our bartender does not like it.
He said it's too sweet.
It's good, though.
He doesn't like anything I like. He didn't even like Force Awakens. Okay. He's just contrary.
Yeah, he just likes to be contrary because, you know, he likes to pretend he's cooler.
Let's get to the show.
All right, so that's all the shout-outs we have today. So let's get to Mars. Okay. Let's talk about Mars. Now, Mars, first seen through a telescope in the 17th century.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of similar to Earth. I mean, not so much, you know, it's only about half the size, but it has, you know, a similar, you know, rotation. The day is about the same length. It has axial tilt, so it has seasons that are kind of like ours, even though their year is much longer. So it's not really that surprising that people before the 20th century believed that there might be life on there. It's not a dumb idea.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because they didn't know. They couldn't see it very clearly. And, you know, later on, when they first could see it sort of better through a telescope, and it looked like there were quote-unquote canals on it.
Right.
Now, what happened with that was that the first person to see those was Giovanni Schiaparelli. I don't think that he proposed that they were man-made. And another thing, he didn't call them canals. That's a mistranslation from the Italian.
Yeah, it's canali.
It's canali, which actually means channels.
Right.
Is all that means.
Right. Ridges.
Yeah. So he mapped them, but I don't believe in any of his writings he ever said that he thought they were man-made. It was just later on when Percival Lowell got hold of it. He's like, canals?
Yeah.
That must be like the Erie Canal, like people right, built it. They kind of, you know, it was kind of a thing where they thought that there were people on there.
Yeah, the telescopes of the time really didn't have the resolution. You really couldn't see clearly. And they did done tests over and over again. It's an optical illusion. You could not see any canals or any kind of patterns in them.
Yeah.
There's no uniformity in the drawings. What it was is there was a light. There's like a light spot and a couple of dark parts on it. And if you stare at it long enough, your mind can play tricks on you. Because each artist had his own kind of take on what it was he was seeing. You could see that his drawings would have a certain theme of how big the channels were, which direction they ran. They weren't consistent. They were only consistent for each man. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Each guy had his own vision of what it was he was seeing. But really, later on, you know, it was proved when the telescopes got a lot better that they weren't seeing any of that.
No,
it was all trickery.
And honestly, when they got to the, you know, survey it with spectrographs and things like that, you know, they could see that it wasn't canals. But, you know, by that time, the canals on Mars idea had gotten so, like, seeped so much into the public consciousness.
Right.
You know, H.G. Wells wrote War of the Worlds. And,
right.
you know, even up through pretty much the 1950s and 60s,
mm-hmm.
there were a lot of, like, you know, B-horror sci-fi movies. You know, women, you know, Mars Needs Women
right.
and, you know, There's Mars Attacks and things like that where there could be people on
There's
Mars.
A huge misconception that the idea of extraterrestrials or alien life is somehow new. And that if people were to find out that there were extraterrestrials, that civilization would collapse. That's all bull. In the 1800s, the average person believed that people lived on Mars. They were drawing it.
Yeah.
They had crazy drawings of aliens with parasols running around kind of like a weird version of France with mushrooms.
You know? That's a weird version.
Yeah, it kind of looked like
Mars,
France.
What's the difference?
Yeah, you know, France on Mars.
That
most people believe in extraterrestrials.
That always kind of cracked me up, though. Yeah. It's like, how provincial, how parochial is that to think that here's like another planet that's millions and millions of miles away, and the people on it look exactly like people on Earth. They dress like people on Earth. They do the same shit as people on Earth.
Well, depending on who was drawing it.
That's
some of them
funny.
Some of them didn't. They were kind of humanoid. Certain artists would draw them kind of humanoid, but with weird round eyes and like suction cups for mouths. But they're dressed up and they have parasols and, you know, they smoke, you know, stuff like that. Kind of funny, you know.
Because, you know, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So, like I said, all through the 50s, so people still kind of thought, well, it's possible that there could be humanoids or, you know, another type of human living on Mars. And it wasn't really until probably the 1960s when they first had the Mariner space probe flying by there taking pictures of it. And the pictures were kind of shitty. I mean, you know, it was 1965. They were black and white. At that point, they took pictures of the surface and there was like nothing there. It was just like rocks and dust and
it looks like it
craters
looks like,
and shit.
It looks like the Mojave Desert everywhere.
Yeah.
But one thing, though, is that if you look at photos or, you know, I mean, some of the photography that they have now on the surface of Mars, it's awesome.
Yeah.
It looks like you're sitting there in the middle of Arizona or something.
It really does, yeah.
Okay. But it's not. That atmosphere is thin. It's like only a little bit thicker than the moon.
Well, it's only 1% of ours.
Yeah.
And see, the thing is, and that's not to say that there wasn't life on Mars at some point, because at some point, Mars did have an atmosphere.
Yeah, a long time ago.
And it did have water.
Yeah.
But see, the thing is, what they think happened, the going theory right now, the most likely theory, is that at some point in the past, Mars was hit by a huge asteroid or something like that. Mm-hmm. And the asteroid was so large that it disrupted Mars's orbit or its wobble or whatever. And the molten core inside, because it did once have a molten core because there are dead volcanoes on it, kind of got messed up. And that messed up the planet's magnetic field.
Okay.
And since its magnetic field was disrupted, then it was no longer protected from solar wind.
So that's the newer theory?
Pretty much, yes. So the solar wind blew the atmosphere off.
Okay. Because I wasn't even sure it had enough mass to maintain an atmosphere for long. I thought it might, like I said, they think it did used to have one.
Right.
It doesn't have any.
Because it did have a lot of liquid water at some point. Because there are riverbeds, there are all kind of stuff there. You know, and there's still a little bit now, but it's like underneath the surface and it's frozen.
It doesn't have a big iron core like Earth either. I mean, it doesn't have any plate tectonics or anything
like that. I don't think
there's any volcanic activity
anymore. Not anymore.
I mean, it has one of the largest volcanoes in the solar system.
Olympus Mons.
But I don't think that's been active since the dinosaur age.
No. Yeah.
So I don't think there could have been an atmosphere on it. By memory, I just remember them saying that it lost its atmosphere before the Earth was even habitable.
Yeah.
Does that sound about right to you?
Yeah, I think that's about right. I'd have to check, but I think this isn't so much the dinosaur ages.
No, it's...
Yeah, it was a very long,
long time ago.
A very long time ago.
The Earth was not Earth-like in the time when Mars may have had an atmosphere.
Yeah. Which kind of brings me to another thing, and this is sometimes listed as a conspiracy theory, but I don't think I would call it that. I would call it just a regular theory, because it's actually kind of plausible, is that Mars, or that Earth, the early Earth, was seeded by life forms from Mars.
Panspermia.
Panspermia. Now, this idea kind of came, you know, it's been around for a long time, but it became more likely in the 80s, when they found a meteorite up in Antarctica that they knew was from Mars because its chemical composition was exactly the same as the Martian surface. And when they opened it up, it looked like there were all these little fossils in there that kind of looked like worms or like microbes.
Yeah.
Now, they're still arguing now. Some scientists say it is microbes. Some scientists say it's not microbes. But it could be. And it could be that Mars was hit at some point in the past. Little chunks of the planet flew off that had little microbes in them, fell onto the Earth, and that kind of kickstarted life on this planet.
A NASA-type scientist is never going to tell you that there's life on Mars until they absolutely know.
That's what science is. You have to be absolutely sure
that's what this is. Evidently, some of those scientists believe that, there probably was.
And from what I saw, it was about half and half. It's like some of them were like, yeah, I think it is. I mean, they're not going to say, yes, it is. They're going to say, I think it is. I saw
some photos that came from one of the early rovers.
Yeah.
What was that very first rover?
Well, Spirit and Opportunity went up about the same
time. About the same time. Okay. And I think it came from either Spirit or Opportunity or some photographs of things that were on the Martian surface that look an awful lot like a primitive coral.
Yeah.
You seen that thing?
Yeah.
I would probably, you know, this is just off the top of my head, just surmising. If there were ever life on Mars, probably didn't exist for very long and probably couldn't have gotten much past the level of primitive sea life. So coral, barnacles, maybe something like that.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't even say fish. Fish is pretty advanced.
Yeah, and it took a long time.
It took a long time for
to get to fish on Earth.
Right. So I'm thinking invertebrates, you know, things like coral, things like maybe sea anemone. That might be a little
Yeah, too seeing advanced. Enemies are kind of advanced.
Probably more like things like coral and microscopic organisms, yeah. Bacteria, things like that.
Which, you know, that's cool enough to think. To think that something like that, you know, evolved on Mars. Like you said, I don't think it got, if that did indeed happen, I don't think it got any more advanced than that before everything went to shit.
Right. It could have gotten, they probably could have advanced along normal lines and been Earth-like had that environment been habitable long enough.
Yeah.
I don't think it was based on everything scientific I've seen, it wasn't habitable long enough.
Yeah, before this cataclysm happened.
Before it lost its atmosphere.
Where its atmosphere was wiped off.
By some means.
Right. And, you know, like I said, they think that that's why the magnetic field was disrupted.
Now, could there be something alive on it now? Yeah. There could be little microbes. Like, what's that little cyanobacteria type stuff that's down in soil? There's some evidence that, water comes out of the surface every now and then. But what's weird is that liquid water boils away, I think, at that pressure pretty quickly.
Yeah.
It has to freeze in order for it to be there for very long.
Well, I think that's how they actually knew. Because remember, they had I believe it was the Phoenix lander that went up and landed on the poles.
Mm-hmm.
And they, now see, some of the ice on there is made of carbon dioxide.
Right, so it's not water
so
ice.
It can sit.
Right.
But when they dug down, mm-hmm. they saw something white down there and they said, oh, we hope that this is water ice and not carbon dioxide ice. So what they did was they dug the trench out and then they left it exposed.
Mm-hmm.
Now they said, now if this is water ice, it will vaporize.
Right.
And it did.
It did vaporize, right.
So there is water ice on there. And like I said, they know that there was water on there at some point. Is there still water under the surface? Could be.
Go down deep
enough. Is there something alive in it? Could be.
Well, you know, here you have underground caves with water in them.
Yeah.
You might have a situation like that there. You know, there's no proof of that, but maybe.
Yeah, it could be. It wouldn't shock
me. And if life came about long ago on Mars, maybe it has survived underground.
Yeah.
But I'm guarantee it's just bacteria, probably.
Yeah, I'm sure that's all it is.
I think there's a big enough ecosystem for things like an underground fish to evolve.
Yeah,
it would
just be like your kind of extremophile type
that you have
things
here
on Earth that live like in, you know, those poisonous vents and things like that. It'd be things, something like that.
So you want to get some of these crazy conspiracy theories or crazy ideas about Mars that we can talk
about? Yeah, now... Talk about the one that you saw the picture of and the guy that was talking about the child slaves, because this is a good one. This was like the most recent one. I mean, the dumbest one by far that I've ever seen.
It's pretty dumb. Okay. On Alex Jones, and I do watch Alex Jones. Alex Jones, I think, you know, he's entertaining. You know, it's not news per se. It's a show, and he's going to talk about the news. You got to check. You got to watch Alex, because Alex can put some spin on things. Well, he had a guest on that mentioned Martian child sex slaves or child sex slaves being held on Mars. And that was too much even for Alex Jones. So AJ is like, oh, wait, hold on. No. You know, the media will jump on me for things like that. And I was like, what the hell is he talking about? And the closest thing I could come up with is that there were NASA scientists throughout the, you know, over the years have come up with an idea that, well, maybe we can breed children. Okay, in space capsule type environments and in enclosed environments to be used on missions like Mars missions and space missions in the future. And for them, they wouldn't find that to be a harsh environment.
They wouldn't know any different.
Because they grew up in that.
Yeah.
And that was just some guys mentioned that.
Yeah, some guy blue sky, and someday when we're going to colonize Mars, maybe we can start doing this so people won't be, you know.
So this guest kind of conflated breeding children in captivity with child slavery. So therefore, it must be sex slavery on Mars.
Which says a lot about that guy.
That is far the fuck out.
That says a lot about that guy.
That is far the fuck out, but that's what he was talking about. That's what I believe he was talking about.
Maybe.
I believe that's what
he just sexed it up a little bit.
Yeah, or
child
misunderstood.
Sexed it
he
up.
Probably
Ew.
Heard it only, you know, briefly, or somebody else told him that. And he ran.
And it was filtered through.
It was filtered through.
Through the bullshit.
Of the bullshit.
Bullshit layer.
The bullshit layer. Maybe he heard that through a couple of different people had repeating it, you know.
And then
on
he
the
was
telephone
like,
game.
What?
And by the
NASA's
time
taking child sex slaves
to
Mars. Dude.
But there's a lot of that shit. There's a lot of that shit online.
You were a crazy person.
Another one that's online right now is the space junk sitting on the Martian surface.
Yeah.
Well, we investigated that. Tell us about the space
junk. Well, the photo, the only photos, the only source, and I hesitate to use that, the only source of this photo that I could find was, it was from a Reddit thread, basically. So, did it really come from NASA? Who knows? Like I said, I can Photoshop a picture that looks like some shit sitting on Mars and put a little copyright NASA in the corner. It's not hard.
It didn't come from an official NASA source.
Not that I know of. I'm just saying,
as far as we can find.
As far as I can find, it turned up on a Reddit thread. So somebody could have made it. It could be from NASA.
Right.
But even if it is from NASA,
do I... might be out of context.
Yeah, it might be out of context. Is it anything? If it's something... like, it kind of looks like... what did it kind of look like?
It's like a circle of debris.
Like a metal...
like a plate?
Plate, yeah. Or bowl or something.
Kind of looks like you cut a circular section out of the wall of an aircraft and threw it on the ground.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like to me.
Which, look, even if it's a real picture, I'll guarantee you that it's... okay, because a lot of shit has been sent in orbit around Mars. There have been rovers sent to Mars. Not just us, you know, they have other, you know, the European space stations, the Russians have done it, stuff like that.
Russians tried it, yeah.
So it's like, even if it is a metal thing sitting there, that doesn't mean it's an alien thing.
No, it wouldn't be alien.
It's probably just some crap we left there from before, or it fell on the surface or something.
It'd be some Earth space junk.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of that already sitting there on the surface of Mars.
Yeah.
Landers and things like that, pieces of landing craft and... you know, like you had that damn machine that went down to put the rover on the surface that we have now.
Yeah.
Well, where
and
that,
a couple of them, I think
that entry vehicle is laying somewhere else.
I think a couple of the ones that they sent before Phoenix, which is the one that was at the poles, the ones they sent before that failed. Like they lost them.
And I think they've tried to put satellites into orbit that failed.
Right.
And I don't know what. I think satellite reentry into Mars wouldn't be as violent as satellite reentry into Earth.
Yeah.
It probably wouldn't burn up.
Yeah.
It would just hit.
So you might just get little pieces of stuff.
Little pieces
just
of it everywhere.
There. So, you know, I don't think there's anything mysterious about that.
No.
Even if you did find a real picture of something that looked like a metal doohickey, like sitting on.
It's a cool picture, probably not real.
Yeah, I think it's probably not.
Yeah.
And let's talk about this a little bit, because this is probably the most famous, like, conspiracy theory about Mars that people think about. It's Richard Hoagland and his face on Mars, pyramids on Mars, cities on Mars. He just has a whole...
Richard Hoagland is the granddaddy of Mars stories.
Yeah.
And I actually like Richard Hoagland. I could sit there and listen to him tell me about Cydonia and everything. And as long as you don't see photographs of what it is he's talking about, you can kind of buy into it. You're like, yeah, you can kind of imagine, yeah, maybe there was something there that a long time ago, a civilization and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But when you see what it is he's talking about, no. No, it's rocks.
Yeah.
It's rocks.
Well, see, every time I go to these dumb ass conspiracy theory sites and they're like, look at this picture of something on Mars. And I'm like, yeah, it's a rock. And that's also a rock. And there's another rock. It's like, they don't look like anything that
the human mind has a very good ability to make patterns.
That's what your brain is for.
Right.
You're supposed to make patterns. You're supposed to make connections. You know, that's what the brain evolved to do.
Right.
But the problem is that a lot of times that makes you see things that aren't really there.
Yeah.
Okay. Now the face on Mars, obviously that iconic picture of the face on Mars, you know, that everybody thinks of. That's the only picture that looked like a face.
The rest of it just looks like a ridge.
Yeah, when they took other pictures, like every other picture of that area, it doesn't look like shit. It just looks like a little ridge or a little mountain or something like that. This was very funny when I looked this up, because you'd think that that would be definitive. Here's pictures. We took a bunch of more pictures of the quote-unquote face on Mars, and it doesn't look like anything. It doesn't look like a face. It was just a trick of the light. That's all it was. Okay, but some conspiracy theorists, I love this. They said... no, there was a face on Mars there. Because that picture was from the Viking mission in 1976, I believe that picture came from. There was a face there, but NASA was trying to cover it up. So when they sent the Spirit and Opportunity rovers, the rovers had explosives on there and they blew it up.
Right. Which leads me to another aspect of the Hoagland style kind of stories about cities on Mars. They always say that NASA is preventing us from knowing about this. That they know about it and they don't want the public to know. Bullshit. Bullshit. That would be like going to Las Vegas and getting the largest jackpot in Las Vegas history and then failing to go to the collection window to collect on it.
Yeah, that's exactly what it
because
would
be like. That's what NASA would be looking for. If they found an alien structure on Mars, they'd be like, look, we found an alien structure on Mars. We have to be there next year. Give us all the money.
Yeah.
Give us all the money and we will
the
be there. The whole point
of them spending these billions and billions of dollars going there.
Right.
That's why. Right. They want to see if there was life there. They're looking for water. They're looking for things.
And if they found an alien structure on Mars, they would be just be given so much money. Their budget
would be partying down.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Partying down.
Yeah. They could write their own ticket.
I mean, did you see how excited they got? Like, I was watching a documentary. Did you see how excited they got when they found out that was liquid water?
Yeah.
They were hugging and high-fiving and woo! Like, all in the room and stuff like that. If they actually found, like, something that was indicative of an alien civilization on Mars, they would be wetting themselves with joy.
You almost said alien civilization.
Alien like civilization.
Civilization.
See, it's going back to that sex slave thing.
Yeah, that must be. if they were to find an alien structure on anything here in the solar system, it would be a priority to get over there.
Well, and
they would make so much bank.
Those
agencies would get so much money that it wouldn't be funny. So, yeah.
Another dumb thing, too, is I have this problem with a lot of conspiracy theories. If NASA really wanted to cover this shit up, why release the pictures?
Yeah. Exactly.
Why put the pictures out there?
You'd never see them.
You'd never see them. They would just be delete.
Okay. Let's talk about... Oh, you know what? Is it time? It's almost time to...
Okay. Yeah. Let's... I look at the time and I'm just like, oh, shit.
Time's going by. I told you this would be a fun show.
Yeah.
Okay. This show's my idea.
Yeah, see? Yeah, you have good ideas.
Let me take a rip off this.
Yeah.
Yes. I was vaping.
Okay. That's his Darth Vader moment. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to take a break right now, and we'll be back in just a minute with more crazy Mars conspiracy theories.
Scribblers rest. Do you pop D20s like candy? Do you bleed D6s? Then Scribblers rest is your fix. Do some time with a crew of authors, artists, and other nefarious types. We have a case of dews in the fridge, and plenty of magic missiles to unload into your darkness. Slide us in your ear hole and let us work our magic. Feel our vibes every Thursday on the Project Entertainment Network.
May I have your attention for the morning announcement? Please be advised the Lunch Ladies Book Club is coming to Project Entertainment Network. Join Shelley, Mimsy, and Ashley as they dish out a deep review of a book. Horror. Thrillers. Whatever they want to read and review. A blonde, a brunette, and a redhead walk into a bookstore and they're serving up hot book reviews. The Lunch Ladies Book Club, coming soon, exclusively on Project Entertainment Network. Would you now stand for the national anthem?
Don't get your lunch money stolen!
Subculture Corsets and Clothing is our favorite store for unusual clothing, shoes, and accessories. They offer a wide selection of men's and women's clothing at great prices. Subculture also offers a cool selection of shoes and accessories. Steampunk, gothic apparel, retro, corsets, and so much more at Subculture Corsets and Clothing. Check out Subculture online at subculturecorsets.com. That's subculturecorsets.com. Make sure you use the discount code 13O'Clock for a 10% discount. SubcultureCorsets.com or visit their store in Jacksonville, Florida, just off I-95.
Hi, this is Brian Keene. I'm an international best-selling, award-winning horror novelist.
No comment!
I know where the bodies are buried, and now I'm telling you their location every week on The Horror Show.
Pardon no comment, don't you understand?
We discuss the latest news in horror novels, movies, comics, and games, and interview the biggest names in the business.
This interview is over. No comment.
Thursday nights at 7 p.m. only on
Project Entertainment Network.
The Unseen Hand, a new exploration of poltergeist phenomena by Jenny Ashford, author of The Rochdale Poltergeist, House of Fire and Whispers, and The Mammoth Mountain Poltergeist. The Unseen Hand is a comprehensive collection of over 100 reported poltergeist cases from the first century to the present day. All the best-known cases are presented, from the Bell Witch to Jeff the Talking Mongoose, from Rosenheim to Tina Resch, from Enfield to the Entity, a large selection of fascinating and lesser-known accounts from all over the world are also included, and all contain testimony from the most eerie and extraordinary events. The Unseen Hand is the ultimate compendium for readers interested in poltergeist disturbances throughout history and the theories behind what causes them. On sale now from Amazon in print, ebook, and audiobook formats. Go to Unseen Hand Book on Facebook and visit www.jennyashford.com for more information.
So we were talking about face on Mars, pyramids on Mars, and stuff like that. And I said, this is another problem I have with a lot of conspiracy theories, too, is that here's one, too, like about the whole like Stanley Kubrick helped fake the moon landing and, you know, he put clues to it in The Shining. It's like, look, if they didn't want you to find shit out, they wouldn't have any clues. They wouldn't leave clues for anybody. They wouldn't let pictures get out. They wouldn't.
And if they were going to fake the moon landing, they never would have built all those Saturn V rockets.
Right.
We went to the moon many times.
Well, and speaking of that,
it would
be
easier to go to the moon than to fake going to the moon by building and wasting all the money on those rockets. You might as well just go.
Why would you do that?
And we have the plans to the Saturn V rockets and the plans to build all that stuff. And guess what? All the science checks out. That's how you get to the moon.
Yeah.
By building that.
Occam's razor, yo. Right. It's like, don't make stuff more complicated than it is, okay? Right. It's like, now that you mentioned like the whole moon landing conspiracy theory, there are also Mars. That we didn't land there. Conspiracy theories about that.
Okay.
Because here's the dumb thing. Here we're getting like the conspiracy theorists are kind of battling against each other because you have the one faction of conspiracy theorists that's saying there's all these alien life forms on Mars. There's a snake. There's a skull. There's bones. There's a rat. I think, or a gerbil, or whatever it was.
Yeah, there's like a woman standing there.
There's a woman standing there. There's a Bigfoot on there, or they're not calling him a Bigfoot.
It looks like a damn Bigfoot.
It looks like a Bigfoot on Mars.
Yeah.
The new sci-fi movie. I'm surprised they haven't made one. They probably already made one. Anyway, and then there's another faction that's saying, well, yeah, all those photos are real, but these photos don't prove that there's alien life on Mars. They prove that NASA never went to Mars, and they're taking these pictures on Earth.
Okay.
And they're getting like they're taking them on Devon Island, which actually NASA does have
training missions.
Yeah, where they do like training or you know simulations. There you go. That's the word I was looking for. Where they do simulations because it's similar to the terrain or whatever. So some people are saying that we never went to Mars at all. All these pictures that are coming from Mars are actually from Earth.
No, I was a little kid and watched the Viking Mars lander turn on live on television.
Remember
where it formed that picture?
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched that happen live. It took forever for that picture to come through.
Yeah,
a little bit ago. All right, let's get to the 10 craziest stories about Mars.
Yeah, now, so, well, a couple of these we already mentioned, like the pyramids, Cydonia and stuff like that. Now, actually, I had never heard this conspiracy theory, but this is already my favorite.
Okay.
I don't know why. I just think this one's adorable. So some people think that Phobos, Mars's moon, is not a moon, but
a space station.
A space station. Cue Obi-Wan Kenobi.
That's no moon. It's a space station.
There we go.
It's a Death Star.
Yeah.
It does kind of look like
even though it looks kind of like a little potato, like floating like around.
If the Death Star and a potato had a baby.
Yeah. Ooh, kinky.
Okay.
But the reason that some whack job started thinking that is because the European Space Agency and also the Russian Space Agency have said that Phobos appears to be hollow. But they're not talking about hollow like a cheap Easter chocolate bunny hollow. Mm. They're saying it looks like either there could be maybe water in there or it was formed by a bunch of asteroids like kind of smacking together so there's like holes in there.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like little air pockets. Yeah. They're not saying it's like hollow like a, you know, like there's Darth Vader and the stormtroopers walking around in there.
It's not big. First of all, you have to understand Phobos isn't very big.
No, it's not.
What is it? 30 miles across? Something
yeah, it's like not like that. It's just not, like a little tiny rock.
You could walk. You could walk around it in less than a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little.
So, station.
And space stuff, especially if it's something from the asteroid belts, you know, it's all irregular. It's just rocks, junk rocks.
Now, bolstering the conspiracy theorist claim, so they say, is that every time we have tried to send probes to Phobos, there's always been some kind of system failure. So they're saying that, you know, obviously the little Darth Vader's in there going pew, pew, pew.
It and could like, be low-quality probes.
It could be, like shooting down the probes. No, you can't find out that this is like a little potato-shaped Death Star. Leave us alone. So,
well, you can debunk that easily. There's never any artificial lighting on it. If it was the Death Star, it would have lights.
Well, you'd think. They can't be walking around in the dark in there. No. Unless they're all like cat people and they can see in the dark.
Probably captured space junk.
Yeah.
Something from the asteroid belt.
That's probably all it is.
Yep.
But yeah, definitely not. But for some reason, I just thought that was the cutest.
Random rocks everywhere.
Yeah, it's just random rocks.
Random rocks everywhere.
And now, we already talked about... this is mainly Richard Hoagland saying that the whole area where the face on Mars is, that there's also pyramids there.
Cydonia.
Yeah, Cydonia.
Cydonia.
And also a Sphinx, which I've never seen a picture of that. And the pyramids, like I said, every time they show the quote-unquote pyramids, they say there's supposed to be three of them, I think.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, mountains. Just looks like a mountain.
Yeah, well, you know, I got to give Hoagland, you know, a little bit of credit. They're interesting terrain features. I would send a lander over there to go look at it.
Yeah, to just see what it looked like.
To see what it all looked like. But I'm guarantee you, if you're... When I was in the Army, you could look at a map, a topographical map, a military map, and you could see, boy, that looks really interesting on the map. But when you get there, it looks like everywhere else. If you were to send a lander to that area, it would just look like the rest of Mars. Boring.
Yeah.
And you'd have to drive a long way or take the little lander a long way to get to a terrain feature, and when you got there, it would just be kind of like a random hill. And then you have to drive somewhere else in another direction to find another random hill. Because you're not seeing all that at once. If you're looking down on it from a map, you know, and you're seeing it at a much smaller scale, you can kind of form a pattern out of it with your mind. Oh, yeah, that looks really cool. But it doesn't look like that from the surface.
No, of course not. I mean, look at all the crazy... I mean, there are whole entire websites that catalog, look at this crazy shit on Google Earth.
Right.
You know, that looks like a something. It looks like a skull. It looks like this. Yeah. There's nothing there. There's like nothing when you go look at it on the surface, there's nothing there. Mm-hmm. It just looks like that from space.
From a distance, yeah.
Yeah, from a distance, it looks like that. Same thing as when you look up in the clouds and you see like people's faces and shit like that. It doesn't look like anything. And like I said, the pyramids, quote unquote, do not look like pyramids to me.
No.
You know.
They look like pyramids from a distance. And vaguely like a pyramid.
Yeah.
But if you were to be
but
there on the surface.
But some mountains here look like pyramids.
But if you were to be there on the surface, it wouldn't look like anything unusual. It'd look like the rest of the hills and mountains and on Mars.
Yeah. It just looks the same.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, this is kind of the same thing that happens with a lot of things, is that rocks can take a lot of strange shapes, which they do on Earth also.
Yeah.
And anything that looks like just randomly that looks like a sort of like a thing, I mean, you're going to think it's that thing, but, you know,
yeah,
it's
if
not
it looks
thing.
Like a thing, it's a thing. It looks like a thing.
Yeah. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, I know what you're
saying. He's always making fun of me. He's always making fun of me.
Okay, let's go.
All the time. Now, this is another one I had never heard of. There is a conspiracy theory that there was actually a manned mission to Mars, and it was kept a secret, called Project Red Sun.
Okay.
Right?
And who did this?
Now, this supposedly happened in the 1970s.
Okay.
And that they were setting up a base on Mars.
All right.
Apparently, NASA started sending manned spaceships up there after the Apollo 17 mission. And
apparently,
it was supposed to be a joint U.S.-Soviet.
Apparently, according to who? The people who are... Who are giving us this conspiracy?
According to crazy people.
Okay.
According to crazy people.
Well, we don't know if it's crazy. It's just according to the people that believe in this theory.
And apparently there was more than one mission. Like the first one, and it's supposed to be joint U.S.-Soviet.
Okay, that kind of makes sense in a way. Is there any physical evidence for this?
No.
Okay, continue.
Supposedly the first mission took place in 1971, and that was supposed to be just to gather information. And then there was supposed to be another one. There was another one in 1973, and that there were two U.S. astronauts and one Russian cosmonaut. Now, the whole how this all came about was in 2011, a video appeared on YouTube, because you know how YouTube is like a really legitimate source of good information, that is supposed to be a NASA training video about Project Red Sun. Most people see this video and said it looks like it was made in Windows Movie Maker.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay.
somebody made this, you know, it's kind of like the alien autopsy type of thing, where it's like, you know, it's a decent looking hoax, but it looks like
I'd have to see it for myself.
Now, yeah, and keep in mind too that
is that a snap screenshot of it?
No, this is a different thing. Okay. And keep in mind too that the story is kind of gained ground because in like the UFO circles, supposedly one of the astronauts was one of the whistleblowers. He said, "Yeah, I totally went to Mars."
No,
and yeah. I was like, "I don't think so, man."
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now,
part of it had me thinking that it was plausible, is that it happened in the '70s. That was back when NASA did have balls, but NASA couldn't keep any secrets in the 1970s.
No,
they still can't. No, the only organization that could ever go to Mars and keep it secret forever would have been the CIA.
Yeah,
it's the Skunk Works, something like that.
Yeah.
CIA on Mars, whatever. CIA linked up with, you know, Grumman Aerospace or something. I'm not even sure if Grumman still exists, but
yeah, I don't know.
And that would have only taken place in maybe the '70s, maybe the '80s. But the thing is, no, I couldn't do it. The journey's too far. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, even with our current, you know, with our current technology, it still takes like 8 months to get there, right? Something like that.
So, I think the shortest they can get it down is about 6 months.
Yeah. It depends on where we are in
where
the orbit.
Mars is.
Because there's only like a pretty short window where we can actually
get
to it.
And they really want to do this with a different propulsion system that can even cut that down to nearly nothing. The only thing that really had a chance to get there, if you ask me, with old tech, was the Orion spaceship, which is the nuclear-powered putt-putt rocket.
Yeah.
And it was the size and weight. It was the size of a small building and, you know, heavier than a submarine. And it was controlled nuclear external combustion, and it would have worked. That was not something crazy. And it could have gotten to Mars in a few weeks. That's how fast it was. And come back. But what was his name? Kennedy scrapped it.
Yeah.
We got to do a whole show on the Orion spaceship. The Orion,
yeah, that might be fun.
They wanted to build like 7 of them. And the Air Force wanted some, and the Army wanted some. And these things were basic. They wanted to use them as nuclear platforms to throw atomic bombs on Russia.
Yeah.
And Kennedy was like, "Oh man, they're making Death Stars. Nah, I don't want to." He thought that the Russians would retaliate, and the Russians would not react well to that.
I don't think they would.
Cuz that's what
he was probably right about.
That's what the Air Force and the US Army would have done, is that they just would have kept them in constant Earth orbit, ready to drop atomic bombs on
essentially like you said, a Death Star.
A Death Star.
That's essentially what they wanted.
They were awful cool. I saw a whole
program. The Death Star is cool. Yeah. I wouldn't want
it. Didn't look like a Death Star, though.
Hanging out by my planet.
It didn't look like a Death Star, though. It looked like a submarine.
In theory,
with
it's cool.
It looked like a submarine with a big dish on the back of it with shock absorbers, and you threw atomic bombs out of the back of it. Using an engine that was basically like a Coca-Cola bottling machine. It could just throw out 3 little miniature atomic bombs a second. Each one of them the size of a Campbell's soup can.
And then just like a Coke vending machine, they would get stuck in there, and then you'd have to put it
in the quarters. They had backup feed tracks. They had this thing worked out. It was a totally mechanical engine. It was awesome. It would have worked. And the heavier, the better.
Yeah.
Which is totally contrary to a spacecraft. They want spacecraft now to be really lightweight because you have a lot of energy. Well, it had to be as heavy as possible to keep this thing from tearing itself apart under all that buffeting.
Right.
All the atomic explosions behind it. Which made making it very easy. And you could launch it from Earth. But it would be, you'd be setting off a lot of atomic bombs to get it into orbit. That was another thing.
Why does everybody have cancer around this launching pad?
They were going to launch it out in the middle of the ocean off a launching platform.
Yeah.
Off of basically a big flat tugboat. It was awesome. Wish they would have done it.
Maybe someday.
Like some out of Fallout.
Yeah.
Okay, we got to keep going.
All right, so this next one is kind of a similar type of thing. Now, this lady... In 2014, she called in Coast to Coast, again, real legitimate source there.
Okay, yeah. Coast to Coast, fun program, but yeah, you're getting some of those callers are quite, whoa.
Art Bell, George Norrie, all the people that have like hosted it and stuff like
mad
that.
Mad respect.
Yeah, how can you like sit there and listen to it? Because some of the people that call, like some of the people call are not too crazy and like they have like normal ideas. They have some good guests and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's like every now and then, especially when they have open lines, I can't even listen to the open lines show.
Yeah,
because
about
like
half of those guys are whack.
Because all these crazy people, sad crazy people. Like,
for all we know, our listeners are like that though.
Sorry, you guys. No. I don't think so. No. I don't feel like we attract that type of that type of sad people that don't have anybody to talk to. And it's like, let's call Art Bell and talk about my theory that I took an elevator to Mars.
Yeah, but I loved Art Bell. Art Bell was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. He could put on a show and he always knew how to handle guests very well.
Yeah.
And, you know, he'd give a guest, you know, a chance to speak.
Yeah.
Even if it was just something just totally impossible. Art Bell would handle it the right way.
He'd be like, yeah, sounds
George
legit.
Sometimes George Norrie, he'd get kind of, I don't know, I've seen him mistreat guests sometimes, but you know.
Well, he's hung up on him a couple of times.
Yeah, I don't really understand.
I think we were listening to that and he was just like, click.
You have a cold, I have to hang up on you.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I remember that.
Your accent's too strong. The audience doesn't
understand.
Yeah,
it's like, forget it, bye. I remember that.
Yeah.
That was pretty rude. Okay, so anyway, so this lady calls in to Coast in 2014, and she said that she worked for NASA in 1979, and her job was downloading telemetry data. And she said that there was a live feed from Mars in 1979, and that she saw men walking on Mars.
Yeah, but you probably can't prove this woman's identity.
No, that's what I mean. But I'm just saying.
And the whole thing's ridiculous.
Yeah.
If they could get to Mars, if any Earth agency could get to Mars, they'd let everybody know.
Yeah.
They would. Even if it was some kind of a CIA type operations. Especially back in those days, because it would have been something to rub in the face of the Soviets during that time. That was the Cold War. You know, they'd be like, we're on Mars and you're not.
In your face.
I mean, one of the things our space program wanted to do, I believe this is in the 50s or the 60s, is they wanted to do a nuclear strike on the moon to show the Soviet Union that we could put a bomb on the moon.
Yeah.
To see if they could do it. Yeah. It was basically a challenge to the
Follow
Soviet.
Follow that, bitches.
See if you can do that. I mean, that's what it was like back in the Cold War. So, you know, if they could
get to... It was dick swinging
on a major level.
Exactly.
On a massive scale.
So, like you said, anything that we discovered that was like kick-ass...
Yeah, we showed it off.
Yeah, they would have been all over the place.
If we had a secret space program to go to Mars, they would announce it the minute it hit Mars. Check it out, Soviets. We're on Mars and you're not. And we brought an atomic bomb with us. See if you can put an atomic bomb in there. We're going to take it to the top of Olympic Mons and set it off. Check out that shit. 30 megatons going on the biggest volcano in the solar system. Bitches. That's what they would do.
Yeah, I know.
That's the way it was. Yeah. I was a little kid during those times. I knew what it was like.
That's just, a very funny.
Back when men were men.
And testicles were enormous.
There you go.
Okay, so there was another similar one, too. Now, this guy also said that he worked for NASA or worked under their auspices. And he said that he discovered organic life in the soil samples in 1976.
Oh, that was...
But that it was covered up. Gilbert Levin was his name.
He's talking about the results that came back from that one lander?
Yeah, well, this was in the 70s. This was 1976. And they had soil samples. And he said that he found organic.
That's actually true.
But now, but there were two other samples that they didn't find any.
Right.
So they're still.
They're still up in the air.
Yeah, they're still like debating about it.
What they're talking about there is that one of those soil samples came back positive with the tests that they had at the time. And they now think that possibly was a false positive.
Right.
So that really
which it could have been.
Could have been.
Or it could have been organic life. That's not crazy.
That's not crazy either.
No.
It's still an unknown. But that particular conspiracy theory is not a conspiracy
theory. Yeah, that's like I said, that's kind of like the meteorite that fell on Earth and it's like, you know,
it
the panspermia thing.
Not,
yeah, that's not crazy. That could totally happen. I wouldn't be shocked. Now, this one is a little more crazy. And since you were talking about setting off a bomb on Olympus Mons... Mm-hmm. There is a propulsion scientist who in 2014 thinks that because they're in the atmosphere of Mars, there's a lot of, large amount of xenon-129 and there's like a lot of, uranium and thorium in the soil. So he thinks at some stage that there had to have been at least two nuclear explosions occurring on the surface of Mars.
Plausible. But you know what? Meteorites can do that.
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
see, because, it's like, if he was saying it was like some kind of natural explosion, then that's not crazy. However, he's also said that Cydonia has all the hallmarks of an advanced ancient humanoid civilization. At which point,
it becomes
right
bullshit.
Off the rails. He's flying right off the rails.
It becomes bullshit. The Tunguska event was a meteor that came in and went nuclear.
And and went off above.
That can happen
above.
On any planet.
Yeah.
If you have a thick enough atmosphere, I guess. Well, no, they don't even need that. As soon as it hits the surface, you could, if the masses and the velocities are correct, it could go nuclear.
Yeah. So that's not to say, like I said, we're not saying that nuclear explosions didn't happen on Mars. We're just saying that it wasn't people. It wasn't people or it wasn't aliens.
It wasn't weapons technology.
Right. It might have just happened, you know, naturally, because shit like that does happen.
Where's the kaboom? There was supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom.
There were also reports that a Stargate was found on Mars.
Oh, stop it.
This is from 2015, and this is, like I said, this is UFO guys. Okay. So of course they're always, you know, they see like a picture of something that's kind of half buried, and that kind of looks like a metal something or other. So like, oh well, it must be a Stargate, meaning we can go to all these different.
And that's not knocking on UFO guys, because UFO guys run the gambit from wacky to plausible. You know, some of the UFO guys I think are respectable.
That's what I mean. And that's why.
Because, Michio Kaku is a UFO guy. He says that you can't discount all these. Some of these reports are kind of.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not saying that. Yeah. And I think we mentioned this on the show we did about, what was the UFO show we did? The UFOs over Illinois. That triangle one.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, because I think it's very likely that there is life elsewhere in the universe. That's very likely.
Oh, it's not. I think it just has to be.
Yeah. I mean, as vast as everything is and all these Earth-like planets that we're coming up with now, there's got to be. I don't know how close it is. I don't know if they've been here. I think that's another issue.
Right.
But I definitely do think it's out there someplace.
Right.
And if it's intelligent enough, if it's advanced enough, you know, could they have come up with some technology to come all the way here? But sure. I don't think that's that crazy.
If it's coming here, it's far in advance of us.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't even think it'd be biological anymore. Be living computers, living robots of some sort.
Yeah. But
being a biological entity is kind of a disadvantage. It'd be a lot better if you could download your mind, your consciousness, or your soul into some kind of a robotic apparatus.
Well, yeah, because then you could go anywhere
and not have
to worry about oxygen. You wouldn't have to worry about water. You wouldn't have to worry about the distances. You wouldn't have to worry about anything.
You'd be immortal.
Yeah. More or less.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like, if they're advanced enough to have visited here, then they're probably.
That's not so far out when you think about it. If the mind is some kind of quantum process going on inside the brain, could you download your consciousness into a computer and live in that? That sounds crazy in a way today, but not really
not
crazy.
Not really. I don't think that's
that might be something that you might be able to do within 100 years.
Yeah.
Maybe less, the way that it grows.
That's what I mean. The technology has just been, like, exponentially advancing. Right. I mean, think about when you saw stuff from, like, the 50s and 60s when they were doing, quote-unquote, sci-fi movies. In some ways, they were way off.
Right.
But then in some ways, we've kind of surpassed that by quite a bit.
I mean, we have prosthetic arms and legs. Imagine one day you have an entire prosthetic body, including a prosthetic brain, basically. And you've just transferred your soul into this damn thing. Yeah. That would be awesome.
I kind of hope it happens soon.
And then you could enter into the internet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Your soul could, in a weird way. And you'd live forever. And you could transfer your consciousness from one artificial body to the next. So you wouldn't be limited to one body.
Yeah, you could, like, move around.
You could be a spaceship. You could be a vehicle. You could be everything. And then you could have a humanoid
body. A transformer.
You'd be like a transformer.
Yeah.
Man, stop it. Okay.
That's a transformer.
It was just my imagination. You know, I would think that an alien beings that could travel these distances that we're talking about, even if they're just warping or going through wormhole type situations, they're wormholing or jumping across space, they're probably biologically very superior to us, which means they're probably not biological.
I mean, I wouldn't be if I was going to go traveling around space or anything like that.
Maybe you're born as a biological entity. They live out a certain life, a certain amount of time. And then when they start getting old and dying, they become a technological entity. Kind of like the way a butterfly, you know, goes through a metamorphosis and becomes, you know, or a worm goes through a metamorphosis and becomes a butterfly. Maybe that's how their life cycle might work. They're biological for a certain period of time. And then when they get old, they turn into a robot.
Yeah.
Weird.
But, you know, like I said, so...
No, I'm just talking about my ass, you yeah. know? I'm just imagining...
What else is new?
I'm just imagining the possibilities, you yeah. know, the advantages oh, of yeah. that.
You but you know,
have to take that into account when you're talking about these Mars theories yeah. and Although, alien
right.
theories.
Right, but you know? I, you know, it's like obviously none of this stuff is happening on Mars. Like I said, if there was no. life on Mars now, or if there was at some point in the past, I think that's totally plausible.
Yeah.
But like you said, it was microbes,
microbes,
it was worms, it was coral, it was something like that.
Right?
Not, could it still primitive. Be there? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, but I don't. It was always primitive life, and probably always still is. I mean, if you were to somehow tunnel through the surface of Mars. Find an underground lake, a huge underground lake with basically a sea of water in it, and there was life in it, you'd be lucky to find fish in it, I think. Because you have to have a life cycle, a whole, you
yeah.
know. You have to have, what do you call it? A habitat.
Yeah.
And you need a lot of stuff to support large,
right.
complicated
So I kind of think it would
creatures.
Probably just be microbes.
Microbes, probably.
At this point.
You'd be
point.
Lucky to find something like a coral.
Because they're pretty hardy,
coral.
Like some
yeah.
types of them are. I mean, some of them can travel right. through space, like on
some,
meteors and things like that.
Some type
so.
Of extremophile.
Yeah,
and
it
I don't
would
think
be
extremophiles
like that.
Get too big. All right.
So that's the thing. So I think that's all it would be. So all these people that are claiming that they see these pictures, oh, there's a woman on Mars. Oh, there's Bigfoot on Mars. Oh, there's a shoe on Mars. Oh, there are
yeah.
bones or whatever. That's, it's nothing. It's rocks. It's rocks, it's pieces of space junk, it's optical illusions. There's nobody there.
Yeah.
There's nobody there. And I know that's kind of sad, but that's not to say that there's somebody's in other places, just not Mars. Just
if,
not Mars.
If there's going to be any kind of artifacts on Mars, they've got there because extraterrestrials put them there.
Put them there, yeah.
And I think those
And
are
why
be,
would they do that? Because,
why would they do that?
Because I, that's the dumb thing, too, is people think that people put, that aliens put... pyramids on Earth and stuff like that,
right.
and that's bullshit too.
Right. Now, when I say extraterrestrials put them there, I'm talking about things from outside the solar system or
yeah.
creatures that did not originate on Mars. Maybe they stopped off and put something there. I think if any kind of extraterrestrials or aliens placed anything on Mars, they placed it there for the purpose, and they would place it there like a marker or a monument to attract attention for future creatures to see it, which means that we would easily spot it.
Or they yeah. were just trolling us. They said, you guys,
yeah.
in like 2 billion years, people are on Earth, they're going to see this and they're going to shit their
right.
pants.
Right.
It'll be funny
yeah.
as hell. Just
nah. yeah. I don't think there's any signs of any kind of alien activity ever on Mars.
No. It's just, it's like I said, it's just rocks.
And if they were to leave, if they wanted to leave something on Mars for us, they wouldn't have left it on Mars. They would have left it on the moon.
Yeah, because we can see that
can
better,
see the moon,
you guys.
And, right.
Dumbass.
There's no evidence of anything ever landing on the moon side. Besides human beings.
Yeah.
It sucks, but that's true.
But like I said, maybe there's
yeah.
intelligent aliens somewhere else, just not Mars. That's all.
Let me end this off by once saying one thing. I believe that they will find extraterrestrials soon, but it'll be through optical stuff because they're starting to actually be able to see some of these
yeah.
planets. With spectroscopy, they'll be able to find habitable planets using that technique. And then eventually they'll build telescopes big enough to, or good enough, because I don't necessarily think they had to be all that big. They just have to have the right type of telescope under the right circumstances. They'll be able to actually image some of those planets. And you might see something like city lights
yeah.
or campfires. That's going to change the game.
That would be awesome. I hope
yeah.
that happens in our lifetimes, because that would
they
be pretty
They think
bad.
It may.
Yeah.
They think it may. Some of the technology, they know where a lot of these planets are. They just now have to image them. And that's only 15, 20 years away in some cases. So that's going to be cool.
Yep. Okay, so hope you enjoyed the show. And if you like the show, please subscribe to our YouTube channel or download the audio version on Project Entertainment Network. Also, we have t-shirts still. If you go to www.zazzle.com/13o'clock, there's 5 different t-shirts there that you can have. And I think that's probably about all that we have to say at the end, right?
We want to make a Snake Plissken t-shirt.
Yeah.
For those of you guys that like Snake Plissken, I love Escape from New York. And I got this concept for a Snake Plissken t-shirt. Jenny says, oh yeah, I could do that. It'll have a cobra face, like the cobra from a Ford Cobra emblem.
Yeah.
And in its mouth it says Plissken, and with a Mac-10, the silencer, Mac-10, and his 3-7 Python, and maybe say New York on the back of it.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
That would be a cool shirt. I'm going to have to, I'll get around to making it.
Yeah, it'll look kind of military.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So that'll do it for this episode of 13 O'Clock. Be sure to tune in next Tuesday. Bye. It's the freakiest show.
Take a look at the low man, beating up the wrong guy. Oh man, wonder if you'll ever know who's in the best-selling show. Is there life on Mars?
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Project Entertainment Network.